That's something really to sing about, a song of a soul set free. And there's nothing like the freedom that there is in Christ, freedom from the power and the bondage of sin and fear and all that the Lord gives us. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 tonight. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 17 and 18. Now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. How did we figure that one out? We didn't figure that one out, did we? The Lord did. But we all, with an open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Tonight I'd like to give a contrast between real Christianity and false Christianity. Real Christianity is a transformation. False Christianity is a reformation. And here we have a picture of transformation that the Bible talks about as what real Christianity is all about. A transformation. Now it tells us that this transformation is a transformation produced by the Holy Spirit. It's a transformation produced by the Holy Spirit. You know, sad thing is that many people are caught in reformation. They have a list of what they do. They have a list of what they do. They have a list of what it takes to pass the test. They have things that you do to be a Christian. You know, that might be read your Bible. It might be, you know, wear the right kind of clothes, modest clothes. It might be pass out a few tracts here and there. It might be go to church, you know, make sure you don't miss one service. They got a list. That's what they do. They fulfill the list. Now they're Christian. They're living the Christian life. Now everything I said on the list, it's right. And every Christian ought to be living that way. But that's not the Christian life. A list? A formula? That's Christianity? No. No. You see, Christianity is not reformation. It's not fulfilling a list. Christianity is a transformation of our lives that God does through the Holy Spirit. There's a huge difference. You know, I remember one time talking to a young lady, graduate of Bible college. I was shocked. She said, you know, Pastor, When we went to youth camp out, she's talking for herself and her buddies. She thought she was talking about everybody, but she was talking about herself and her friends. You know, when we went to the youth camp out and we got back, we have a testimony service on Sunday night. And you know what? We know we knew we were supposed to give a testimony. And so we would give a testimony. It wasn't real. God didn't really do anything in our life. But, you know, that's what you're supposed to do. You're supposed to say, God did this, and you get up, give a testimony, and everybody goes, oh, you know, it's fake. Unreal. You know, my heart was broken. My heart's broken. Number one, I wasn't fooled. I remember those testimonies. My heart was broken as those testimonies would be given. I said, I wish it was real. I know it's not real. It's just fake. She thought she was buffaloing everybody. She wasn't. Only her and her friends. That they were thought they were successfully deceiving everybody. That something had taken place in their life. You see, many people have this problem. Many people have this problem. They think Christianity is reformation. No. Christianity is a transformation by the Spirit of God. And He does it. It's miraculous, it's supernatural, and it's real. And the Bible describes the Christian life here in this passage of Scripture. And it gives us a contrast between the new covenant and the old covenant. And we get some little, some little tidbits here that help us. And it talks about the law and that the law was glorious. And talks about that verse 7. But the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, that's the Ten Commandments, was glorious. Let's go back to verse 6. Who also made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses for the glory of his countenance, which glory was to be done away, how shall not the administration of the Spirit be rather glorious? Talking about as Moses was on the mountain, God gave him the Ten Commandments. He was in the very presence of God, and his face was so glorious. His face shone. The very reflection of the holy presence of God as the law was given. Because the law is glorious. It reveals a holy God. Without it, we would be blind. It's wonderful. But here's the truth. It's glorious. But it's not life-giving. The letter, the Bible says, killeth. You know, how does it go? Let me explain it. You probably experienced it. You read your Bible, and you read something in your Bible and say, you know what? I'm not going to do that again. I don't want to do that again. That's wrong. And you confess it as sin, and 5 minutes later, you do it. 5 minutes later, you do it. You know, whatever it is. You see, the law doesn't give life. The law is glorious. And we need the law. It reveals who God is. But the law doesn't give life. The law condemns us. You know, Christianity, there are lots of laws of what God says is right and what's wrong. And the book of James calls it the law of liberty. And you know what? It is the law of liberty. You know why? Because if you and I violate those laws, we bring ourselves into the bondage of sin. And sin is stronger than you and I. And it will not let us go. The law is the law of liberty. It has the truth. And those who despise the law despise liberty. Because sin brings people into bondage. And won't let them go. And the Bible tells us that will bring you into bondage. That will destroy your life. That will take you where you don't ever want to go. That'll take you further than you ever want to go. Et cetera, et cetera. And it's true. But you know, it doesn't give life. And you see, it's only the Spirit that gives life. It's only the Spirit that gives life. Not the law. The law is the law of liberty. But the Spirit, it does not give us life. You see, do this, do that, do that, do that. Or don't do this, don't do that, don't do that. It's right. But that's not Christianity. In one sense of the word. Let's go to Galatians chapter 5. You look at a couple of different verses. Galatians chapter 5. A couple of great verses here. Galatians 5. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Ho! Did you read that? Against such there is no law. The Bible says if you're filled with the Spirit and you're living in the Spirit, you aren't going to do anything that violates the law of God. Isn't that what it says? Romans chapter 8. Verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that purpose, the righteousness of the law, might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You know, it's kind of like this. It's a bad illustration, but it's one that came to my mind. If, for instance, your dad says, don't shoot that gun at the ground. But you shoot the gun in the air. Guess what? When you shoot the gun in the air, you're not violating the law of your dad, are you? Huh, that's pretty simple. By doing the opposite, you're not breaking the law, are you? That's what it's saying. When we walk in the Spirit, we aren't going to be breaking the law. Now, if you think about that, there's a lot of crazy Christianity out there. There's 100% contradiction to the Bible because they are breaking God's law. And the Bible says if you're walking in the Spirit, you are not breaking God's law. And you won't break God's law. Because it's the opposite. Very simple truth. But we find here this great truth about Christianity is about the work of the Spirit of God in our life, changing us. It's not me turning over a new leaf. It's the work of the Spirit of God. But notice the great principle that is here. It says, we'll go back to 2 Corinthians 3. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. The Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. Now there's a great truth here. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. What's it talking about? You work for a company. And the boss says, now I want these parts put in this box this way. And so you put the parts in the box the way you want. Not the way the boss says. Let me ask a question. Who's the boss? The boss? Or you? Who's the boss? Yeah. The worker who does what he wants. Now it says the Spirit of the Lord. The Lord is that Spirit. Oh. When the Holy Spirit has the freedom to be the Lord, He's there. When the Lord has the freedom to be the Lord, Holy Spirit's there. What is the key to this work of the Holy Spirit? The Holy Spirit wants to have liberty to work in our life. But only you and I can give Him that liberty. You know, it's an exercise of reality every Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, whatever. Really simple. If you were up here, you would understand it. You know, liberty. You're a dad. You're trying to teach your son something. And you're frustrated. He is not listening. He is not listening. Oh, he's there. Maybe he hears some sounds, but he's not listening. And you're frustrated because you're the dad and he's not letting you be the dad. He's not letting you teach him. There's no liberty there. You know, the Holy Spirit tries to speak to us every Sunday. But does he speak to us every Sunday? No. But let's put it in this category. Let's just say that the preacher this morning was preaching the message that God had him preach. Let's just say that he is preaching in the power of the Holy Spirit. But you didn't receive the message. What's the problem? The Spirit of God was not allowed to be the Lord. And the pastor could sense the message was not being received. Now, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. You read your Bible, and maybe the problem is you don't read your Bible very well. You know, you want magic. You know what I mean? You want magic. You know, you want to read a verse and you want to see it, you know, going like that. You know what I mean? That's what you want. And then you'll know that's what God wants you to know. You know? A lot of young people are like that. A lot of adults are like that. And we do it all the time. You know what the problem is? It's not God. It's not that the Bible is any less the holy, living Word of God than it ever was. It's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Jesus said, the words I speak, they are spirit and they are life. But you know what? Many times we have a problem. You know what the problem is? We're not surrendered to the Spirit. We're not walking in the Spirit. We're not allowing the Spirit to work. We are mechanics. We're mechanical. Our Christianity, I read this, I write some things down, but we didn't meet with God. And He didn't meet with us. And our life isn't changed. That's Reformation. That's mechanics. That's false Christianity. Real Christianity, the Spirit of God has liberty. He has liberty to work in our life. No walls, no prejudices, no resisting. We don't do that, do we? I heard about someone and they were in a situation and the truth came out. I said, you know, I entered this conversation with this man of God and I determined that I was going to hide the truth. I wasn't going to let the truth known. I was going to hide it. I was going to keep up the whole sham. I wasn't going to let God work. Liberty. It says, verse 18, but we all with open face beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Here it is. The glory, beholding the glory of the Lord. Here's the mechanical. Well, man. Oh, don't have any. Maybe I do. Yeah. Well. Well, gotta do my duty today. Gotta hand out this tract. You know, gotta do my duty. I'm just doing my duty. Really? Think of Jesus on Calvary's cross. Jesus, lover of my soul. Jesus dying for the souls of men. I am come to seek and to save that which is lost. When we behold Jesus, it's not, oh, I got to do this. Oh, Lord, give me a soul. Lord, give me a soul. Hey, you know what? Here, the Lord Jesus died for you. He loves you. You can know the truth. You can know Jesus. You can be saved. You can have eternal life. There's a big difference, isn't there? Remember a dear lady one time, even a member of this church, she said many years ago, she said, Pastor, I don't love souls. I don't love souls. You talk about witnessing. I don't love souls. She says, I know it's wrong, but I don't love souls. The Lord gave me the answer. He says, you know, you need to ask Jesus to give you His love for souls. You need to ask Jesus to give you His love for souls. You see, the key is looking at Jesus. You ever think of Isaiah 6 and Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up? And he says, woe is me, and I am undone. Oh. Boy, I tell you what. When you think of that, all of a sudden sin looks pretty sinful, doesn't it? As you look at the Lord. Beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Looking at Jesus. You know what? We can read the Bible and not even see the Lord. Not even get a glimpse of Him. And the Bible says, as we beholding in the glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. As we see the Lord Jesus. You say, Lord, that's what I need to be. That's who I need to be. Lord, that's what needs to be done in my life. Lord, you do it. Lord, you do it. Lord, give me your love. Lord, give me your holiness. Lord, give me your kindness. Lord, give me your mercy. Trusting God to do in our life. We can't do it. Transformation. Not us letting Him. Not us letting Him. I think that great verse, Ephesians 4:23, by renewing your mind. Isn't it amazing? The Lord is called the Word. Renewing your mind. Go to the Word of God. Allowing the Spirit of God to use the Word of God to transform us. It's God. Is God working in your life? Is God working in your life? That's the Christian life. God working in our life. Not a formula. Not putting on a show. What He does. There's a huge difference between transformation and reformation. And you know, it is glorious. It is glorious if you understand what I'm saying. There isn't anything much more glorious than to say God is changing my life. There's not much more glorious than that. To be able to say God is changing my life. It's glorious. Perhaps even here tonight, you'd have to say, God, my Christianity has been wooden. It's been mechanical. It's just almost... You know what happens when young people have that kind of Christianity? They can't wait to run away from it. They can't wait to run away from it. And many of them do. But you know what? That's not Christianity. Christianity is the real work of the living God in our lives, changing us. He does it. Maybe you haven't come to the end of yourself. Maybe you haven't come to the place where you're ready to finally come to the place where you say, you know, I just can't do it. I can't get victory. But I need victory. And you're ready to come to that place like the Apostle Paul says, oh, wretched man, Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the bondage of this sin? And we cast our eyes to the Lord Jesus. I thank Christ Jesus, my Lord. Surrender. Repentance. Surrender. And faith in the living God. It's nothing for Jesus, is it? Nothing. It's nothing. It's nothing for Him to deliver us. Nothing. Is that right? It's nothing. All we must do is look to Him. Look to Him. Here's a great truth. Maybe tonight you want to get free from wooden Christianity. Yeah, on the inside you're rebelling because it's not real. If you had your own, you'd never live that way. But somehow you're going through the motions. It's not. If you're deceived, just, you know, you're not deceived unless you're deceived. Sorry. But if God, if the devil is deceived, you think that's the real thing. It isn't. That's not the real thing. And that's not what real Christians have. Amen? But tonight, point out the great truth that Christianity, it's a transformation that takes place in our life, that the Spirit of God does in our life through Jesus Christ. And if tonight that transformation is not taking place, you're stuck somewhere. I want to give you good news. It can start taking place the minute you come to the end of trusting and relying upon yourself. And turn to the Lord Jesus in faith for victory, for life, for transformation. That's the start. And every hour through the day, that same truth. And one day, as you obey the Lord by faith, you'll say, hey, you know what? This is great. God's changing my life. God's changing my life. Let's do some shouting here. Amen. God's changing my life. Is God changing your life? Can He do some shouting? You can. You can. Because Jesus Christ is real. The Holy Spirit is real. He's won the victory. And you can find the victory in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is just an introduction to a big subject. But I hope it's a challenging thought. Reformation? Or transformation? Do you have wooden Christianity? Or do you have real Christianity? Now, if you need to be born again, that's exactly what it means. You turn from your sin, you turn to Jesus Christ by faith as your Lord and Savior, believing He died for you, paid your penalty, settled it all, and you can turn to Him in complete faith as your Savior, that He'll save you and make you His child. You know what? When you get that new life, now Christian life is a continuous work of the Spirit of God in you as a new person in Jesus Christ. A continued transformation. Is that what we're experiencing tonight as Christians? Transformation? Transformation? That's what God wants to do. That's what the real thing is. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this great truth. Thank you for the picture that we have of being changed from glory to glory. And Lord, sad to say, many times we have to come to the end of ourselves. We have to come to the place that we are sick of our sin and we're sick of walking in the flesh. And we're convinced of our wrong choices and our sinfulness. But Lord, it's the beginning of a glorious day. A day of turning and trusting, allowing you to work in our life. With heads bowed and eyes closed, tonight the Lord is speaking to your heart and saying, you know, I've been a wooden Christian. Oh, I go through certain formulas and I look good on the outside. It's not real. It's not real. And God's speaking to your heart tonight. How that He wants to do a real work in your life. Now, maybe not for you, it's going to start with getting saved. Maybe for those who are Christians, it's going to start with surrender, admission, of just going through the motions and not having a real relationship with God. But the Lord is speaking to your heart about this very issue. Maybe it's a prayer to God. Say, God, I'm tired of just being a wooden Christian. I need you to change my life. And there's some sins you need to confess. There's some things that you need to look at the Lord Jesus and let Him get a hold of your heart. And put your eyes upon Jesus. And let Him change you. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. The message tonight was for me. I was listening. God's trying to do something in my life, and I've been resisting. It's about time that I say, okay, Lord, whatever you say, I'm listening. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. God is speaking to my heart. My life hasn't been changing. Because the Spirit of God has not had liberty in my life. Maybe there's unconfessed sin. Maybe you haven't been looking at Christ. You've been looking at yourself. And it will always fail. The Lord has spoken to your heart. Say, Pastor, pray for me. Tonight, the Lord spoke to my heart. I understand how it is that I need to go forward and how to get there. And I'm letting the Lord have His way in my life. Would you pray for me? Anyone here tonight? Okay. I see a couple hands. Praise the Lord. Anyone else? All right. Lord, thank you for this truth. Pray you'd use it. Lord, we know that for anyone who takes these truths, it will be a great day and a great future. And pray that you, Lord, will take even this passage of Scripture and use it in lives as they seek for you to work and for you to change them. Might you be glorified in our life. And might it be said that our lives are changing for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.